Moncrief on News Talk.
Studios full with vibrant life. Barbara Scully and the eternally lonely Declan Buckley is there.
I'm a closed casket. You know.
Would you?
Would I?
Yeah.
Cremate me all the way, I think, you know.
Would you?
Yeah.
Would you? I keep changing my mind.
Yes.
What why? Like?
I've changed my mind over the duration.
You thought cremation was the way to go, did you?
No, I didn't. I wanted to be buried.
Oh, did you?
And I wanted to have an ice cream truck at the funeral.
This graveyard?
Yeah, at the graveyard, so people could have an ice cream on the way home.
Okay.
And I've been
even told, if it was the middle of winter, like?
Yeah, I've been told. Yeah, I was told that's impractical.
Yeah.
And wildly expensive as well.
Probably.
Yeah.
And some people are lactose intolerant.
So well, now I want to have I want to be cremated. They can keep half the ashes, but I want the ashes, half the ashes to be passed down from generation to generation.
Oh my God.
Until it's cheap enough to shoot them into space.
Okay.
Because I like that because it annoys people for generations after I'm dead.
Who's that? Granddad? Great granddad Sean?
We have to keep this. Yeah. We have
now,
to keep
I know what'll happen.
As soon as you're gone.
Turn down the jack.
He'll never know.
I'll come back.
Yeah, exactly.
Plant him
I
in the garden. Do you want to be cremated?
Do you know, over the course of my life, I have changed from, you know, kind of my nascent atheist kind of notion that I didn't care to now, you know, I think some form of commemoration of the fact that I was
alive.
I don't want a statue, Barbara, you know, it's
okay.
Not like that.
Okay.
But I don't, you know, having had close members of the family die and having a place where they are kind of, you know, we were talking about this quite recently.
You visit graves though.
See, this is the conversation that we were having about people. Some people don't, some people do. I think, you know, I have visited strangers' graves as a course of looking into family history and genealogy of friends of mine. And I love cemeteries and I love graveyards. And I think that they are a historical and a cultural resource that kind of is being kind of trendified out away. That we don't, you know what I mean? That the actual trend for cremations or not even burying Nana and Grandad has a kind of a thing that we're, you know, although our footprint is probably going to be online now that, you know, you'll never be able to escape the fact that I existed because of the rubbish I said online.
But
it's a kind of a difficult one.
Well, that's the thought. You'll be getting hate way after your demise.
Just say a prayer for me after I go.
It's an interesting, an interesting debate.
I've been going out with a man for about 12 years now. I'm 33, he's 35. We have a great relationship and he's very kind and supportive. We've travelled all over the world together and even lived in Canada for 2 years. What could be more challenging than that? There's nothing technically wrong with our relationship, but over the last year, I've started to feel like he's not willing to take the next step with me. Many of my friends have got married over the last few years and some have had babies. Most of these women are only dating the other half for 3 or 4 years. My boyfriend says he's not opposed to getting married, but says he's not going to get married just because everyone else is. Obviously, my reasons for wanting to get married are because I'm madly in love with them and want to settle down, have children, etc., and not because everyone else is. After 12 years, I feel like he doesn't want to marry me. Am I just wasting my time? My family, particularly my father, thinks I should give him an ultimatum of 6 months. And if he hasn't proposed by then, kick him to the curb. I don't really want to give an ultimatum, but I do feel like I need to do something. I worry that I'm not getting any younger and I could waste most of my 30s with someone who will just never marry me or perhaps is just waiting for someone better to come along. What should I do?
I think this is kind of sad.
Yeah.
I fully understand where this woman is coming from. And she's been in the relationship for 12 years with no sign of it moving on to the fully committed stage. And I know there's many people probably listening who'd say, sure, why would you need to get married? Sure, they've been together for 12 years.
They've lived in Canada together.
They've lived in Canada together. Sure, isn't that commitment enough?
Yeah.
But I think women are in a far more vulnerable situation when it comes to commitment, especially when one of the factors is the fact that she wants to have children.
Mm-hmm.
In that context, as a woman, you need to know that the partner with whom you're intending to have these children is pretty fully committed to your relationship and your future together.
Yeah.
And that's what getting married is. I mean, it's a public declaration, if you like, in front of friends and family that, like, I am, you know, committing myself to this other person for the long haul. What I don't know is why they haven't sat down and had a serious conversation about this. Like she says, he said he isn't into getting married just because everybody else is, which to me is a kind of immature take. What's going on here. This woman needs to kind of convene a summit about their relationship and explain why marriage is important to her. Because again, I think that very often men, hashtag not all men, would think, oh, she just wants the big day out and be princess for a day and all that baloney. Bridezilla over there will probably tell us about that. So I think she needs to sit down and explain the bigger picture to him. I would urge against an ultimatum, but I do worry that maybe her dad is picking up on something, you know, that he is sensing around the relationship. And she also mentions in the last line her fear that he is just waiting for somebody better to come along.
Ah, now.
All of those are kind of slight bit of red flags. And I think she definitely, all of those also reinforce the fact that I think she needs to sit down, have a relationship summit and explain exactly how she feels and why she wants to get married.
Yeah.
And put it up to him. Not in an ultimatum, but like, yeah, I need this.
I don't think that, I think that there's a couple of things in this that I want to say. One is separating facts from feelings and you know, what is actually happening. The dad having a feeling about that, I would just ignore all that. The reality of it is that our parents can have funny feelings about, you know, such and such as other, you know, other half. And
they can
and
be
that,
right sometimes.
They can be
well.
Right sometimes. They can be very wrong sometimes. Mm-hmm. And they can also be coming from a different time when things were done in a different way and all this kind of stuff. So that shouldn't be the basis of a decision that you make. I think that what should be a basis of a decision you make is the fact that your relationship with this guy has been going on for a long time. It does need to have some kind of direction that's shared in the sense that you both agree what you're doing. That doesn't mean you have to get married, but it does mean having a chat about what your future together involves, whether it involves, I mean, I come from a culture, from a group of people who weren't allowed legally get married in this country until quite recently, yet we still managed to form families and we still managed to form lives together for many, many years. And we would still have, as you said, the conversation about, you know, what are we doing here? Yeah. What is happening here? I think there's a danger that comfort can be confused with commitment, that people can get very comfortable with the way things are right now and believe that now will last forever. Whereas, as you've already pointed out, Barbara, is that for women, there's a deadline.
There's
coming,
a deadline, Luke.
Coming
exactly.
Really fast down the track. And that means that relationships should have timelines, that it should be like, well, because of this very, that this isn't about me wanting a big day out. This isn't about me being, you know, demanding or whatever. It's about me being a very normal person kind of saying, I want to plan my life. Regardless of what the reasons you want to plan your life are, it's very normal to have a conversation going, well, what are we going to do? Where are we going to go on holidays next year? Are we going to buy a house? What are you going to do for the rest of your life for a job? All of these kind of things are normal conversations to be having. They're not comparative conversations that you have because, oh, just because Joni and Johnny down the road are after getting married and have a house down in the housing estate, that we're going to do exactly the same thing. No, but they're at the same time in life where if they're making those kind of choices, we should be at least considering whether that's a choice we want to make for ourselves and actually knowing the answer.
I have to wonder, are women still like, as you said, talking about the parents, like coming from a different time when things were done differently. But I often wonder if one of the things that hasn't changed is the fact that women are still afraid to drive these conversations in general.
A lot of people texting in saying, why doesn't she propose to him?
Exactly,
if he hasn't proposed.
Well, see, that taps into then the last part of your conversation where there's a certain element, this is the other thing I was going to say, there's a certain element of insecurity through this letter that it's flummoxing this woman because a lot of her demands, or not her demands, a lot of her positions are correct.
Yeah.
She's right to say, I want to know what the F is going on here. Yeah. I want to know what our roadmap is for it.
Yeah.
That's normal.
Yeah.
But then for whatever reasons, you're not good enough for him or your dad thinks he's a bad one or whatever. These things are undermining her. So she's feeling a little insecure and then she doesn't want to be the one, well, I forced the issue and now look at the mess I put myself in. This guy never wanted to get married to me at all.
Yeah, but
in the
then
first
she
place.
Needs to know that now. So even though it might cause a mess initially, that's very difficult to deal with. But she's better off finding out now than in another 5 or 10 years' time.
Yeah, but maybe her reluctance to do anything about it is because she wants it all to happen to
her. But I still think that with all the strides and the progress that feminism has made, that there still is this thing with women that they want to be asked and they want the man to drive it and they don't want to be the ones to kind of take the lead, which is ridiculous, you know. So I would agree with the people who take it in saying that. You know, she should. But I think she needs, first of all, to have a discussion. Do you know?
Absolutely.
Because if she says, will you marry me? And he says no, like she's no further down the line as to understanding.
But it's more like the conversation, if the conversation goes, well, I don't want to get married just because everybody else is getting married.
That's ridiculous.
That's a very kind of clever little rhetorical trick. Because you're not then saying, well, what are the conditions under which you will get married?
Yeah.
Do you ever want to get married? Do you ever want to have children? These are all things that, you know, people have in the first place.
I mean, they're 12 years together. I wonder if they bought a house together.
Yeah.
That's the other
huge commitment.
I'd be
surprised if they hadn't.
Yeah.
Like also, what age are they? Are they 12 years together because they got together when they were 12?
Yeah, they did. Yeah, they're 33 and 35.
Okay, sorry. So, I missed that part. Yeah.
So they have been together since they were quite young.
Yeah. John in Limerick says, it's couldn't be arsed syndrome. The man boy needs to be given a rocket up his posterior, metaphorically, of course. Thanks for pointing that out, John. Is it really necessary to get married to have a full commitment? Wants to have a baby, and also her partner, just go ahead and have the baby. Marriage really is just a piece of paper.
No, well, it's not. You see, I do have that. Like, it's not. I do. I mean, I'm not purporting like everybody should get married. Get married if you want to get married. Don't get married if you don't want to get married. But I do think that marriage is not just a piece of paper. I think it's that whole piece about making a very public commitment, which is important.
Yeah, okay. But you can find ways of getting that.
Well, I mean, you know, it's a public commitment to all the people who know us, who know we've been living together for the last 12 years. Fair. Oh, shock news!
And it's whatever. Like in the olden times, it was a commitment that was much harder to get out of as well. So the reality of it is that, you know, my point is that if you're not secure in the commitment that you think you have, no amount of weddings and is going to change that.
No, it's not. But they need to discuss it. They need to sit down and have a
100%
discussion.
100% they do. Well, it sounds like they kind of have.
I don't think they have.
I think
She's just said, oh, will we get married or what about marriage or whatever? And he's just gone, I'm not getting married because everybody else is. And that's been the end of it. Like, I think if she had sat down and explained to him, look, I would like to have kids. I do want to be a mother. I'm 33 now. I don't have another 10 years to like flute around. Wait.
Yeah.
I need to get going soon. How do you feel about that? And that's the bottom line.
One thing I would say, the guy you texted in and said, this is a, you know, couldn't be arsed kind of syndrome, whatever it is. There are some people who just have high levels of could not be arsed syndrome.
Yes.
And sometimes, they might be very hot in their 20s, they become millstones around your neck in their 40s because, you know, they just don't do anything. You have to drive everything. Are you prepared? Maybe you're getting, you know, the red flag that you're seeing there is actually a hint that maybe this person isn't the person for you, because you have to know that this person wants the same thing for you you want.
That
and sometimes
exactly
you can love somebody dearly, but you just want different things. And it just means that you're at a fork in the roads and that person wants to go one way and you want to go a different way. And whether that's biology or whether that's just choices that are sending you that way.
You have to be pragmatic. Like any, you know, a decision to kind of, you know, hitch your wagon to somebody else's star for the long haul needs to be as pragmatic as anything else.
Oh, yeah.
As romantic and, you know.
And you have to think about the future.
Yes.
Yeah. Maybe he's terrified she does not love him and only wants the marriage about the keeping up with the Joneses. Maybe he's testing the water and wants to hear from her. It is out of pure love.
Okay, fair, yeah.
Maybe. As a 48-year-old woman, I waited for 15 years for a proposal. It never came. Some men just can't do it.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh. For a woman to want to spend the rest of her life with you and you are supposedly in love with her, well, it's a no-brainer. He has to go. He's not interested. Oh, crikey.
Well, those two things there similarly have a position where it's kind of like that it didn't happen for them with that person that they were with, and whether that's because that's the kind of person they are or that's the person that he was. Sometimes that does happen, and it's sad, these people are stuck in the same thing. You've been together for 12 years. Has your relationship changed during that 12 years? And has there been any point in those 12 years where he has been the driving force in something that's meshing your relationship together more, or is he just happy to go along all the way with how things are? Because if he's just happy to coast along, that's never going to, you don't coast into, well, some people do, but you shouldn't coast into those decisions.
You certainly shouldn't coast into parenthood.
He doesn't want to get married. He's waiting for better. Get out now.
Oh, God. She said that in the letter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think
I think she senses he's not really into it.
He could be just lazy.
He could be just lazy.
More likely to be that it's not lazy. Sounds really kind of mean, and so does arse. But in that whole idea, there's something in there in that kind of just happy to. I've other things in my mind right now. Work is took. I want to stay home. I want to watch the match. You know, today everything's going on about today. Oh, I know, but some people just that's how they live their lives. They're just not. They're not thinking down the.
Well,
road.
Then you don't want to be hitched to that forever.
Well, that's what I meant.
It could also be he doesn't want, he's very happy with their life together.
But he doesn't want kids.
Well, maybe that, but maybe also he doesn't want a big production wedding thing.
Yeah, but that's a different discussion.
The wedding is different to the commitment.
The commitment, is the thing. Exactly.
And that's what she needs to talk about. She needs to say to him, quite simply, that I want to feel that this is a commitment for the long term.
Yeah.
And the only way that I know that that works is if we are married.
Yeah.
But if you can think of another way that convinces me that this is a commitment for the long haul, I'm going to have to start thinking about the long term prospects for this relationship.
I met my now husband in my 30s. Time was an issue for me. I did have the conversation with him to basically explain my position and ask if he was in or out, because I needed to know. Don't fear the answer, but you do need to ask the question.
Yeah, right. Good for you. That's very well.
Anyway, I've recently started seeing a man. We're both in our late 20s. We get on brilliantly. We've loads in common. And for the first time, I can genuinely see the potential for a real relationship. One problem, though, he's told me he has a foot fetish. The trouble is, I can't stand feet. They make me want to vomit. Bare feet make me cringe. I avoid looking at them whenever possible, and the thought of anyone paying special attention to mine makes me want to hide them in thick socks forever. He's been completely respectful, hasn't pressurized me in any way to anything sexual with my feet. That said, I can't help wondering whether we're fundamentally incompatible. Is this an important part of his attraction, and is something I actively recoil from? Are we setting ourselves up for disappointment? Can two people with completely opposite feelings about something like this make a relationship work? It's the perennial question, really. How often does philosophers attack this one?
Well, I mean, you know, this is quite niche, but it's also not that dissimilar from the last question, in that we're talking about two people who are in a relationship, albeit this one is a shorter duration, and it's about compatibility, and it's about whether there's long-term, you know, hopes for this kind of thing. So the first thing I'll say, look, don't panic about compatibility, because what you're talking about here is somebody who's said that they have a certain fetish for feet. I mean, you know, whatever you're into and all that. But it's important to remember that when it comes to anything to do with, you know, activities around sex, that there has to be, you know, you both have to be into the same thing for it to work. It can't be somebody making it. You know, you can, in your head, you go, well, I love him and this is what he's into. And, you know, it means nothing to me. So I'm going to make this compromise where I'm going to allow that particular fact or that particular feature to come into our relationship. And if you allow it into the thing, then it does, you know, who knows? Because some people's fetishes are quite strong and they can become quite
a main thing.
They become quite overbearing. And if you don't share that particular fetish, it can be quite off-putting or annoying or whatever. The important thing to say about fetishes is that, you know, most of them are completely natural and they're part of people's sexual awakening. Sometimes people think that they're weird. Sometimes people just, you know, find them repulsive. And that's fine, because people have different experiences with sex. It's also really important to remember that the things in your partner's sexual identity that attract them to you are not the identical things that mean that are healthy and sexually interesting for you as well. So opposites, even in same-sex relationships, people are into different things.
Yeah.
Because people are into, you know, what their own kind of sexual urges, whatever.
Yeah. Right.
And I think it's important to remember that your own kind of perspective is always going to be slightly different from the person that you love, even if you're into doing the same kind of things. So that's the practical side of it, I would say there's no point in making a big deal about this until this thing starts stomping its way into your relationship. I think that it's I think what you can see is that this is somebody who's open with you and they have talked about stuff with you clearly, which is way better than the people in the last, you know, relationship where 12 years together and not even able to have a conversation about whether they want to, you know, get married. Whereas this is somebody who's talking about, this is what I'm into. This is, you know, you reacting badly to that is just you not processing the information. It's not, nothing else has happened yet. This person is just disgusted.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you're a vegetarian and somebody says, I love bloody red steaks, that, you know, your reaction is about what you think. Mm. It's nothing, you know, the other person is just doing something that in their world is completely normal.
Well, that's not quite the same because no one's going to force the vegetarian to eat the bloody red steaks. But no, this but is if, like, but get your feet out
stop,
for the lads.
A vegetarian might stop somebody cooking a bloody red steak in their kitchen. They might, you know, so...
Kissing you afterwards.
Or just rubbing it all over your face.
Or on a philosophical level might have a really bad reaction to it on a philosophical level. I mean, it's a bad example, but sure. But I'm drawing a kind of comparison to the ways in which compatibilities come along all the time. And sometimes they're deal breakers and sometimes they're not.
Yeah.
And I think that what you have to do is don't break the deal before the deal needs to be broken. That's really
awesome. Yeah, I mean, I loved this letter because I totally get it. I wouldn't be a big fan of feet either. Mm. And ever since I was...
What about inches?
What?
No, stop.
What did he say?
No.
It's rude.
Inches.
Okay. Oh, very good. Very good. Sorry. But ever since I developed diabetes, I have to have my feet checked by my doctor at my diabetic exam twice a year.
Oh, really? Why?
Because your extremities can suffer. And if you get an injury on your foot, you mightn't be aware of it because your nerve endings can be affected. So he has to examine my feet now twice a year. And I spent, he only takes a minute or two. But I spend that minute or two going, I'm really sorry about my feet. Oh, sorry about my feet. Oh, God, I hate my feet. Oh, I'm sorry. And he did say to me recently, I know your feet are grand. Shut up, he said. Sure, they're actually better than my wife's. Which just cheered me up now.
Okay, but he probably says that to all the girls that come into
that to
him.
All the girls, anyway, I agree with you, Declan. I think it's very positive that this guy has been very open with this woman. They're not long into the relationship. He has told her that he's into feet. And I think that's useful information for her to have, you know, in case she should decide to give him a cheap birthday present or something some year of getting over herself about the feet. But that said, he hasn't pressured her into...
You mean like socks?
he hasn't pressured her into making her do anything with her feet. So, like, I think this is what you were saying. Like, I think they're kind of... she's overthinking it at this early stage in the relationship.
Yeah.
He might be able to park his foot fetish in the long haul. She might get over her fear or her abhorrence of her own feet or whatever. You know, you don't know. So I would say it's far too early to say, oh, this is a deal breaker. Are we incompatible? You don't know.
Yeah.
And I would say if everything else works,
but is it is also simultaneously true that compromise has its limits and that just because you start compromising at the beginning doesn't mean you have to keep on compromising. You might find that you're
you
own
find the way
go,
to,
okay, I've had enough.
But if they have a conversation this evening where she says, okay, what does this involve? And he describes to her, and then she says, I'm never going to do that.
So maybe now, that is good that you've had that conversation now, because then you know that's a deal breaker.
Yeah.
You know, if you know, you know.
But would it be, I mean, if you have a full fan, would it be, would it be like, oh, then I can't? If everything else works.
I don't know, that would be...
life is reasonably healthy in all the other respects, except she's not going to do whatever he wants her to do with her feet.
Depends how, you know, how fervently he needs feet action.
That's exactly
whatever that
So
involves.
He may not. I mean, he may have said it just to test the water. He may not be dependent on it in order for him to be happy.
What a foot fetish is just that they want to give you a foot massage, you know?
Oh, God, I'd love that.
So there you go. And I mean, so the point of the matter is that sometimes the label, the words foot fetish...
Or misconstrued.
You know, can just be created into this mad, you know, I mean, again, I don't know. I mean, maybe there's something else that he wants to do with
feet. I don't know.
Well, somebody texted in to say there are OnlyFans accounts for feet.
Yeah, because some people just love looking at feet. Yeah. But feet is something to do with their sexual awakening. They just remember seeing a pair of feet.
Well, it was probably 1950s Ireland. That was the only part of a body you got to see.
It's like
look at them feet.
God, Mrs. has her sandals on. Jesus, look at them
toes. They just show their wrists and everybody'd faint.
Oh, really?
And again, it's again like, you know, boobs and bums and all this. It's like, why are people fixating on one particular part of the body? If you actually think about it, it's all a bit kind of, I was going to say nuts, but that's
oh, you're on fire today.
Oh,
he's on fire today.
Okay, you'll have to get quick answers to this one. My girlfriend and I met in the first year of college, were together for 2 years. We had our ups and downs like any couple in their 20s, but I thought we were happy and everything was going well. Then out of nowhere, a few weeks ago, she disappeared. One day she simply stopped answering my calls and messages. I assumed something had happened to her, but then I discovered she'd blocked my number, blocked me on socials, and even blocked my email. There was no argument beforehand, no warning, no explanation. She just completely ghosted me. I've spent weeks replaying our relationship in my head, trying to work out if I said or did something awful without realising it, if I'd made a mistake. I would have wanted the chance to apologise or at least understand what happened. Instead, I've been left with nothing but questions. I know she's alive because her friends still post her Instagram and have posted pictures with her. So I know this isn't a case of something terrible happening. I feel like she's erased me from her life overnight. Should I reach out to one of her friends and ask them, or should I try to move on without ever knowing?
God, that's a really cruel thing to
isn't
do,
it just,
I think, to somebody. To ghost them completely after 2 years, leaving this fellow with all these unanswered questions. I think he's answered his own question at the end, because I do think he is owed an explanation.
Yeah.
You know, if you've been going out with somebody for 2 years, even if he did make a mistake or do something that she considered to be absolutely, like, awful, he needs to know so that, number one, he can have a chance to apologise, but basically so that he knows what went on. He seems to have accepted that the relationship is over, but he needs to know why. And I think that's fair enough. He says at the end, should he reach out to the friends? I would reach out to the friends, but I wouldn't involve them. I would do the old fashioned thing. I would write a card or write a letter to the ex-girlfriend and ask one of the friends if they would pass it on to her. So you're not involving them.
Yeah.
You're not getting them into anything.
Yeah.
And just give them a letter and ask her to please give him an explanation that he is owed that after 2 years. Now, it may not work and then he has to move on, but at least he'll feel he's done something, because at the moment he's just floundering around, you know, kind of screaming at the void and getting no answer.
I don't agree. So this kind of ghosting thing that this woman has done to him, you've already pointed out, is really cruel.
Yeah.
It's also very definitive. It's cruel because it kind of stops people from getting any sense of closure on what's going on. You don't get any answers. But this woman has basically disappeared off into the, you know, into ether. Wherever, into the ether, and has shut down any possible access that this person has for her. That's a very deliberate act on her point of view. Whatever reason that is, she's made up her mind that that's what she's doing. Yeah. And so he's now in a situation where he's now, as you said, he's lost for answers. There are loads of places and times in life where we have something happen to us where we just never get that closure, we never get the answers. And we have to find another way, rather than getting an answer, to get closure. And I think the closure that he needs to make in this situation is a closure that he creates for himself, where he has to go, I have thought through this whole situation. According to my own sense and my own memory of this relationship, I have not done anything that deserves this particular outcome. So therefore, I'm going to have to trust myself to say that this is something to do with this woman. And she's made these choices which exclude me from the narrative. And now I have to make my own decision to move on and just pull the shutter down on that scenario and just
that's
get the hell out of it.
That's easier said than done.
No, I know.
Really do think if just goes to the motions of writing her a note or a letter and saying, putting out his feelings, like, I don't know what I did. You know, I'm not trying to get back. I accept the relationship is over, but I do need to know why.
Yeah.
Just doing that might help him to have the closure that you're talking about.
Sure. Okay. But also, again, I know we're up against time, but it's one of the things where we go, look, she might never give him the answer.
No, she may not.
Or even verbally.
No.
She may never give him the answer. So what do you do then? Does he come up with another innovative way?
She sounds like a right wagon anyway.
Yeah,
I think he's dodged a bullet.
So he needs to frame the whole thing going, what do I want an answer for? Do I want an answer about my behaviour? Or do I want an answer about whether she's a wagon?
If he was in love with her, I have pictures of him scrolling through Instagram and seen her picture friends thing. And everything.
Well, I don't know. There might be a reason. It might be all that feet sex he was looking for. I kind of put her off.
Yeah.
Just going back to the first question.
Okay.
Good God, that first question has opened up so many old wounds, says Ted,
dear.
Who coincidentally now lives in Canada. So many old wounds. From the age of 17 to 36, my father has turned on every girlfriend I've had. I'm 40 now, as far away from finding a partner as I ever was. I don't even know where to start.
He can't blame his dad for that.
Well, you know, parental disapproval can make a difference. And Brian says, on a slightly related topic, we had to do a pre-marriage course 34 years ago.
Yeah.
The parish priest gave us a talk. Yeah. The guy beside us stood up and said to his intended, we're out of here. I'm not being told how to ride by your man. And they left. Barbara and Declan, thank you both very much as ever.
Moncrief Weekdays at 2 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.